Okay, well, now we're going to have our reading, and we're going to do that with you. We thought we'd split up the reading, and then there'll be verses in which you have to read so you don't go to sleep or lose track. It's a pretty exciting story, though. You wouldn't do at all. So, are you blue? You are blue, aren't you?
Yes. I'm blue, yeah. Right.
While we were with them, another gifted prophet named Agabus came north from Judea. He took Paul's belt and used it to bind his own feet and hands.
This is a message from the Holy Spirit. Unbelieving Jews in Jerusalem will in this way bind the owner of this belt and will hand him over to the outsiders.
Now we all joined in imploring Paul. We, his companions and Philip and his daughters, everyone present, begging him not to go one step closer to the city.
Please, you're breaking my heart with your tears. I know exactly what I'm doing. I'm fully prepared to be bound, and more, to die for the name of Jesus the King. We realised our persuasion was pointless, so we stopped pleading with him and simply said, "The Lord's will be done."
So we knew what we were getting into as we prepared to climb the foothills towards Jerusalem. Some of the disciples from Caesarea came with us and led us to the home of one of the first disciples we'd been staying with. We continued on to Jerusalem and were welcomed warmly by the brothers there.
The next day we went to visit James, and all the elders were there with him. Paul greeted them and then reported account after account of what God had done through him among the outsiders. When they heard this story, they praised God.
When the 7 days necessary for being ritually clean to make an offering in the temple were nearly over, some Jews from Asia recognized Paul in the temple. They grabbed him.
"Hail, fellow Israelites, this man is an enemy of our people. Our religion, our law, and this temple. He travels around the world rewriting our holiest customs. He is at this moment desecrating this holy temple by bringing outsiders into this most holy place. Actually, this was not true. They'd seen Paul elsewhere in the city with a Greek man named Trophimus. And they'd wrongly assumed that Paul had brought him into the temple. But there was no way they could get the truth out there because the rumour had spread, and soon a huge crowd rushed to the temple. They held Paul and dragged him from the temple and shut the doors behind them. They beat up Paul, and it was clear they intended to kill him.
Fortunately, by this time, word of the mob had reached the commandant of the Roman guard assigned to Jerusalem. And he quickly led a group of soldiers and officers to the scene. When the mob looked up and saw the soldiers running towards them, they stopped beating Paul.
The commandant took him into custody and ordered him to be bound with 2 chains. He asked Paul his name and what he had done. Members of the crowd were shouting over each other, and the officer couldn't hear a thing, so he ordered Paul to be taken back to the barracks.
When they came to the steps leading down from the temple, the crowd was seething with such violence towards Paul that the soldiers had to pick him up and carry him. And then the crowd followed.
Away with him. Thank you. See, it's exciting, the Bible. Apostle Paul, like Mo Farah, didn't expect the race of life to go without bumps and bruises. To be easy. He knew that all times it would take his courage, his energy, his determination to carry on. He understood that he was called to follow in the footsteps of Jesus, the one who came to show God's love, the one who suffered and died. Jesus' suffering served a greater purpose, and Paul never loses sight of the fact that following Jesus means sometimes that life is. He knows what's waiting for him in Jerusalem. Rejection, anger, violence, because he felt that way towards people who followed Jesus not that long ago. This doesn't put him off going. He knows what he is doing. Because he knows that Jesus died, but didn't stay dead, Jesus came to life again, he'll be okay. Paul knows that Jesus is with him all the time by his Holy Spirit, encouraging and strengthening and comforting him. And Paul also holds on to the hope, the amazing truth, that death will not be the end for him either. He will live forever with Jesus. But not everyone who follows Jesus can cope with this thought, that it's going to be tough. And they want to avoid the tough stuff, both in the ordinary times of life and the suffering that comes from following Jesus. Agabus was a good man, a man who listened to God, but he didn't want his friend hurt, so he became a discourager. He let Paul know about the vision he'd had about him that showed that if he went to Jerusalem, he'd be tied up and handed over to outsiders. Paul was heading for trouble, and all of Paul's friends begged him not to go. The thing is, Agabus hadn't heard quite right. His own baggage got in the way of God's message. It's quite like God to give us a heads up if we're heading into trouble, so that we can prepare ourselves. But actually, the outsiders weren't the problem. They saved his life. They saved him from the bloodthirsty Jewish mob. Agabus was being a bit like Peter, who realized that Jesus was Son of God and then wanted to keep him safe. Paul knew he was going towards danger, but he knew it was the thing to do, what God wanted him to do, so he didn't listen to the well-meaning discouragers. One of the great things about this passage is the fact that these kind-hearted folks who wanted to follow Jesus but didn't quite have the guts or didn't want their friend to be hurt accepted Paul's explanation and got behind him. The Lord's will be done. They changed from discouragers to encouragers. And I love the fact that Paul and Agabus stayed friends. We want each of us to keep listening for God's message. And sometimes we're going to get it wrong. But we want to encourage each other to keep listening, keep trying, to keep learning from one another. Agabus' vision helped them to know how to pray for Paul. They knew he was going into trouble, but they were united as brothers and sisters together. And when Paul went to Jerusalem, he was warmly welcomed by the brothers there. And they all gathered together, and Paul told them story after story about God, what God was doing amongst the outsiders, amongst the Gentiles. Their understanding of God and his love for all the world grew because Paul was able to go to Jerusalem. If he hadn't been there, they wouldn't have been encouraged. They wouldn't have grown in their faith. They were really were encouraged by this. And Paul was really encouraged by their acceptance and encouragement because he had been despised, he'd been loathed, but they had overcome that and they loved him as their brother. Paul knew his coming to Jerusalem was going to be tough, but if he hadn't gone to Jerusalem, that wonderful opportunity of growth and encouragement would have happened. But as we said, nearly always in life, the good and the bad come together. The train tracks run together. And the bad wasn't far behind. The Jewish authorities were really angry with Paul and got the wrong end of the stick about someone going into the temple. He hadn't gone into the temple, but they whipped up the crowd anyway. They got hold of him, they were beating him up, and they were intent on killing him. Fortunately, the occupying forces, the outsiders, got wind of the uproar, and they rescued Paul, taking him into custody for his own protection. It had been quite a scene. The crowd was so much around him, the soldiers had to literally pick up Paul to keep him safe. Paul, when faced with following Jesus during a really tough time, decided to still go for it. When the race became difficult, he pushed through and ran on. He trusted God would give him strength he needed, and he held on to the hope that he will live and love forevermore because of what Jesus has done. But what about us? What will we do when the going gets tough? We've seen so many examples of athletes getting backs on their bikes when they've fallen over, carrying on. What happens when we get that stitch, we hit the wall? What choices will we make? Will we walk away from difficulties, wanting an easy ride? Will we get discouraged? Will we only notice the bad stuff when the good's happening at the same time? And will we encourage each other to keep going? Let's pray. God, we thank you that you give us strength for each day. God, we thank you that you will never leave us or forsake us. And because of what you have done through Jesus, we will live forever. We have that hope. We have that assurance that we have a fantastic prize waiting for us. And we thank you for those who encourage us to keep going. Lord, I just want to pause now for you to thank God for the good things in your life, for his strength, for those who encourage us. We're just going to do that silently now.